Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden. Welcome to episode 79 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? Thank you for tuning in. Now listen, I know it has been a long time since I've done a podcast. It's been a few weeks, and I'll tell you why. Because I wanted to do a happy one. You might remember episode 78, I said I'm going to come back and I'm going to hit you guys with some good news. You know, I'm always talking about, I mean, we got the gun issue and we've got war going on, and we've got the Supreme Court and their crazy decisions, and on and on. It's just, I don't want a stream of negativity. I said I'm going to do something positive, and people, I've been trying. I've been looking through the news. I've been reading. I've been wanting to, but nope, just ain't going to happen. So listen, I'm just going to go with what they give me, and we'll see. Maybe next time. Maybe next time. All right. Well, this is America. So let's start off with the shootings. Now, at this point, I can't keep track. Can you? I literally, we should just have a shooting scoreboard. You know, here in L.A., in Westwood, they have a running counter, and it's how many people die from smoking. At the start of the year, it's zero, and that number is continually moving. You know, people dying from lung cancer and related smoking. We need an official shooting scoreboard to keep track of how many of these things are going on. Since we last spoke, and I'm not even sure, so please don't hold me to this, but we've had the Seattle school shooting, which was at Seattle Pacific University. Aaron Ibarra went on a rampage, killed one, injured others, but he was stopped. He was stopped by John Mice, a hero, a true hero. When Aaron went to reload his shotgun, John was able to pepper spray him, tackle him, take away the gun. So you see NRA, it's not a good guy with a gun that stopped the shooting. It's not a good guy with a gun walking around Home Depot or Chipotle or Sonic Drive-In carrying his automatic weapon on his back, keeping things safe, that stopped the school shooting. No, it was an actual hero with pepper spray and bravery beyond measure, because it you got to be brave to go toward a gun, and he stopped it. So kudos to him. And the rewards he's been getting have been amazing. He's engaged, and you know, donors have filled all of his lists, you know, the gift lists from his wedding, and they've been donating money for his honeymoon, and now he's saying donate money to the family of the victims, and he's not coming out with a lot of press and stuff. So good for him. But another school shooting, another, and it's not even, I'm telling you, it's not even news, because we're not talking about it anymore. Because while we were talking about the Seattle school shooting, we had the Oregon school shooting. That's right. Jared Padgett at Reynolds High School, he shot and killed a student and another student, and then he killed himself, which happens so often in these things. But yeah, it was another school shooting. Again, you can't keep track. It's normal. It is our new normal. I'm sorry. Listen, there was a shooting right around, literally around the corner from where I live. Not at a school. Thank God it was near a school. But this guy, it was you know, L.A. This is L.A. So it all started with a freeway chase, because that's how we start things. And it was Nolan Perez, who was wanted on 3 felony counts. They started chasing him on the freeway. He got off the freeway. He ran into a house, barricaded himself inside, pulled out his rifle, got on the roof. There was a school nearby, but they brought him down. And that was literally blocks from my house. I'm not afraid. I'm not brave or anything like that. I'm just talking about, it is that pervasive that we're literally going to talk about the shooting next door. That's going to be normal conversation. So how are you doing? Well, you know, there was the shooting next door. You too? Yeah, I know. I barbecue indoors now. Absolute insanity. Since Sandy Hook, there have been 74 school shootings. Well, that's what normal people think. That's what normal people think. Now, let's go over to Charles Johnson, okay? And Charles Johnson is a, we'll call him a reporter. He used to work for the Daily Caller, and he got on Twitter and he said, you know something? These school shootings are overrated, damn it. There just aren't that many school shootings. Now, there's a group called Everytown. Michael Bloomberg, former mayor of New York, Mayors Against Illegal Guns, Shannon Watts, Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America, etc., etc. They've got together in a tally, and they said 74 school shootings, and they count a school shooting as any time a gun goes off inside a school building or on school grounds. Makes sense, right? No. Johnson says no. This is what Johnson says. It's not a school shooting when someone goes and shoots a specific person on campus. That's just a shooting that happens to take place at a school. That's just a good old American murder. That don't have nothing to do with school shootings. It just happened to take place at school. And CNN took the bait. See, because this guy now, he dismissed a whole bunch of school shootings. That wasn't a school shooting. That was gang related. It just happened to happen at a school. That wasn't school shooting. That was drug related. Just happened to happen at a school. But it was a good old American shooting. You know, murder, like mom and dad used to do. None of this modern school stuff. CNN took the bait and literally lowered the number of school shootings since Sandy Hook to 15.9. I don't know who was shot 0.9 times. That just seems weird. Seems weird. Did someone throw the bullet at you or did it ricochet? I don't know what a 0.9 shot is. But so they're like, listen, that's only one school shooting a month. That's not even worth counting. We should be proud. Yeah, we've reached that level of insanity that we are debating. We are debating whether or not school shootings are school shootings or shootings that just happen to happen at a school. So that's okay. Yeah. Yeah, we're doing fine. Mm-hmm. We have lost our minds. Now, on the bigger topics of shootings, I think we all remember, but you might not. You might not, because like I say, I haven't been on in a while. Because I was looking for good news. We had the Vegas shootings. Now, you know, the Vegas shootings were, if I say a couple of crazies, that really doesn't narrow it down anymore, does it? No. Okay, so here's what happened. We vaguely, Jared and Amanda Miller, a couple sort of like... They reminded me of Natural Born Killers, the Oliver Stone movie. But anyway, they went into a pizza place in Vegas and they shot two cops. And they had a bunch of Nazi and white supremacist propaganda going on. Because, you know, in the mass murder circle, like mass shootings and racism go together like hot dogs and apple pie. And again, these are mass shootings, not good old American shootings that Charles Johnson approves of. But anyway... These two kill two cops. They lay Nazi paraphernalia on them, blah, blah, blah. Then they go into a Walmart. And sadly, there was a guy in the Walmart. And his name was Joseph Wilcox. And Joseph was a good guy with a gun. He had a carry permit. And he pulled out his gun. And he aimed it at Jared Miller, not realizing Amanda was with Jared. And Amanda killed him. And that's what happens. Sadly, I'm not... I'm trying not to be callous here, but this is the truth. This is what usually happens when law-abiding people pull out a gun on a criminal. Because law-abiding people, the average person is not trained to work in that situation. The average person doesn't know how to handle that situation, and he pulled out his gun and he was killed for it. And then in the suicide pact, Amanda shot Jared and she shot herself. Where were they hanging out before they went on this rampage? Oh, yeah. Over at Cliven Bundy's ranch. Yeah, you remember Cliven Bundy, the guy who doesn't recognize the federal government and who had a bunch of armed militia people on his ranch standing up to the federal government and all the right-wing news organizations and congressmen backing him back there. Clive and Bundy is a true American. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where these two Nazi mass murderers were hanging out before. It's disgusting. And it should be disgusting. I'm not shocked. I wanted to say I'm dumbfounded, but the truth is I'm not. There's nothing in this story that surprises me. Nothing in this story surprises me. Two insane mass murderers hang out with a militia and then go into a city and kill two cops, spread Nazi paraphernalia, shoot an innocent guy, and kill each other in a Walmart. Damn it. That's American. That's just a good old American story. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable that this is the point we have reached. But we're here, people. This is our reality, all right? I'm not making any of this up. So what else is going on? How's Barack Obama doing? How's war going lately? Well, funny you should ask, because you know that damn Obama now. Okay, another story. Yeah, I just I'm sorry to laugh. It's just so utterly ridiculous that it's almost you can't. I don't even know. Look, this is a problem. I don't know at what point logic and reality just stop, because you have to get to that point to start these discussions. So, Army Sergeant Bo Burdell was the only prisoner of war in Afghanistan, and Barack Obama made a deal to exchange 5 Taliban prisoners, officers, whatever, from Guantanamo Bay to get this guy back. And normally that would be a great story, that it'd be heroic and he'd be welcomed and blah, blah, blah. Now, supposedly Burdell went AWOL, left his post or something like that, and that's why he was caught. But here's a part that's hilarious. All Republicans are mad at Barack Obama. It's a bad deal. You shouldn't have done it. This is un-American. Now keep in mind that John McCain, okay, the Republican presidential candidate in 2008, literally said that he would trade prisoners to get Burdell back, until Barack Obama actually traded prisoners to get Burdell back. Then it became horrible. It became terrible. And Bill O'Reilly stepped in, because Burdell, his dad, this is his son. So he studied the Muslim culture, and he learned the language, and he studied the religion, because he wanted to be able to try to understand the people who were holding his son and what his son's going through, et cetera, et cetera. So Bill O'Reilly, great American that he is, said Burdell's dad looks Muslim. Damn it. Look at that long ass beard. He looks Muslim. Who else has long ass beards? Oh, let me think. Maybe the Duck Dynasty guys. Honestly, if you've seen a picture of Burdell's dad, if he wore one of those Confederate caps, and what other cap would a good American wear, you would not know that he wasn't one of the Duck Dynasty guys. Okay, just a white guy with a long beard looking a little crazy. Mm. And speaking of Duck Dynasty guys, do you know they've got a Bible? And why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? That's right. The Duck Commander Faith and Family Bible. They are selling Bibles. They they are endorsing and selling Bibles. Of course, they also endorse and sell guns, but Jesus would go for both. I wish I was making that up. Go online and get your Duck Commander Bible. Better yet, don't. So Barack Obama is now palling around with terrorists again, right, Ms. Palin, or something? I don't even know what it is, but he brought home the prisoner of war, and this is terrible. Now, keep in mind, under the Bush administration, when things went wrong in the war, it was okay. You know, when lies were told about the war, it was okay. And I'm looking up his name because I don't want to I don't want to to disrespect his memory by saying the name wrong. When Pat Tillman was killed in Iraq, if you remember, this was used for pro-war propaganda until it was found out he was killed by friendly fire. And the government got a full pass on that lie, but that damn Barack Obama, he's in on it. Speaking of Iraq, I don't know if you're aware of it. And again, you might not be aware of this because you probably live in reality. But it is Barack Obama's fault. Yeah, I was a bit shocked. I probably shouldn't have been. I probably shouldn't have been shocked. I should have known that this was Barack Obama's fault, you know, because keep in mind that Barack Obama engineered the economic collapse before he was elected. So why wouldn't he have started this war before he was elected and be responsible for the damage of the war that he started before he was elected that's being done now? I know I'm stumbling and not making any sense, but that's because this doesn't make any sense. But damn it. John Boehner said that President Obama is taking a nap. That's right. He said that it's not like we haven't seen over the last 5 or 6 months these terrorists moving in, taking control of Western Iraq. Now they've taken control of Mosul. They're 100 miles from Baghdad. And what's the president doing? Taking a nap. Well, you know, Iraq had a government that wasn't understood, and we destroyed that government. And then we started pulling out troops under Bush and blah, blah. I'm not even going to go into it. That's so ridiculous. But it's nice. They're going to try to hang this one on Barack Obama. And you know something? You know my knock? That I've always had this knock against Barack Obama of not standing up, of not doing things. Well, damn it, he is now. And I'm proud. I'm proud. Barack Obama has basically said, enough of you Congress people stopping things. Enough of this congressional logjam. Enough of this congressional saying no. He's using the executive orders. And on this one, he's about to sign an executive order banning federal contractors, okay, with companies who employ about 28 million Americans from firing employees based on sexual orientation. I didn't know this. But in 29 states, it's still legal to fire somebody just because they're gay or lesbian or transgendered. And Barack Obama said enough. So he's literally banning that for all federal contractors. And the reason he has to do it is because you would think, well, this is law that you can't discriminate. No, this law is struck down by Congress every time it comes up. Okay, the Republican-controlled Congress, did I mention that? They shut down the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. That's what it's called. Every time it comes up, they're like, no, you can't fire them because they're gay. We read it in the Duck Dynasty Bible. So kudos to Barack Obama for blowing him off on this one and not following it, you know, for stepping up with an executive order. He's got to do that in between palling around with terrorists in Afghanistan and you know, destroying the government in Iraq. Man, he did a lot before he got elected. We should be more impressed with this man. Speaking of elections, okay, none of us saw this one coming. And I'll tell you, on June 5th, Timothy Egan wrote an editorial in the New York Times talking about the Tea Party is done. It's over. Okay? The Tea Party, no significant legislation, no changes in American life. Tea Party's been a negative force in politics. And the only thing they brought us was the government shutdown, okay, which cost the economy $20 billion. That's right. The Tea Party is dead. Long live common sense. Well, guess what? The Tea Party must not have heard because Eric Cantor on June 11th, a week after that editorial, Eric was out. Now, do you know what level of right-wing crazy you have to get to say Eric Cantor is not right-wing enough for us? You remember Cantor. He was the House majority guy. He was running with, I can't even remember his name. Damn, that's a shame. I can't even remember the candidate who Barack Obama beat. But anyway, Mitt Romney. Whew, sorry about that, people. It's just too much. Cantor lost. He lost to Randolph Macon College economics professor Dave Bratt. A little more about Dave Bratt in a minute. But Cantor literally spent more on dinners at steakhouses with fundraisers than Bratt spent on his entire campaign. And they had enough of Cantor. They said Cantor did the worst thing a Republican can do. He mentioned compromise. Cantor was actually going to try to work with a Democrat to move the country forward. Damn him! Damn him! We got rid of him just in time. Good old Tea Party. Now, here's the... And Cantor basically said that, you know, his whole, we're still a party and we still have a plan and we're still going to stop Barack Obama. Hey, Eric, you know what Barack Obama did that you couldn't do? He got reelected. But I think as long as you're still there, you're still running the House majority until July 31st, just for old time's sake, how about you vote down Obamacare again? What do you did it 33 times. What's 34? Just get together and vote no on healthcare plan. Just for your last time. One more time. Go on. Play along. Ah, you're a beautiful. Yeah. So long. Now, let's look at this Dave Bratt guy, because this guy, I mean, here's the thing. He's Tea Party, right? He's just a grassroots guy. He's a college professor, and he won the election the American way. He spread flyers, went door to door, and shook hands, and that all sounds really good. Of course, it's not really true. Now, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I admire the Republican Party for their tenacity, their patience, and their ability to manipulate things to get what they want. They do not mind taking their time. Okay, now check out how this went down. This started, remember BB&T Bank? BB&T was a huge bank, and they went under, and they got a $3 billion bailout from George Bush back in 07. The CEO of that bank was a guy named John Allison, and John Allison did what CEOs of bankrupt banks should do: take a big hunk of that bailout money and give himself a bonus. And what he did with that money was he donated $500,000 to this Randolph Macon College and told them to hire Dave Bratt to teach Ayn Rand economics. And that's really great because, yes, Dave Bratt does have a degree in economics, but his PhD is in divinity. And one thing Ayn Rand did not like was religion. But you can push that religion to the side when there's money involved. But again, you check with that Duck Dynasty Bible. I'm sure it's in there somewhere. And through this John Allison, there was also some Koch brothers money that got involved. So you see, it's a mess, but it worked. It worked. So now they have this Dave Bratt guy. So listen, you think the Tea Party's dead? No, the Tea Party is not dead. The Tea Party is patient. Of course, he did get a lot of support from, you know, the Tea Party talk radio people who, you know, like Dr. Laura and Glenn Beck and all of them. And they get paid. Understand that they actually get paid to endorse candidates. Okay, Sean Hannity, they get money to endorse candidates. But Dave Bratt won this election, and he won it on a $200,000 budget. And the Tea Party is not dead. The Tea Party is patient. You see why I don't have good news for you people? You see why? Because this is what's going on. But I'm going to try. We're going to wrap it up. Sports. Congratulations to the San Antonio Spurs for winning the NBA championship. Yes, I was pulling for the Heat and LeBron James, but they couldn't get it done. Matter of fact, couldn't get it done is an understatement. They got their ass whipped. The Heat got their ass whipped. Okay, San Antonio did it. Same thing in hockey. The LA Kings whipped the New York Rangers' ass. Now, I grew up in New York. I live in LA, and people ask me, did I go for Rangers or Kings? And I said, I don't know hockey, so I'm going to play along. But the Kings won, and good for them. And sports, it's great, right? But no, it's not so great, because now that the NBA finals are over and the NHL finals are over, we're left with the World Cup. And don't get me wrong, the World Cup's a great event, but this is the United States of America, and we know nothing about it other than our team sucks. At best, our team is mediocre, but come on, this is in World Cup soccer, the U.S. sucks. Now, there was a huge upset. The Netherlands beat Spain 5-1. How do I know that's a huge upset? They told me. I don't know anything about the Netherlands or Spain, but apparently Spain is a good team. They got their ass whipped by a bad team. See, that's the problem with the World Cup. We can watch it and we can listen to the cheering and the songs and we know nothing about what's going on out there. Of course, I could watch the WNBA, but ladies and gentlemen, that's just not going to happen. So, I'm going to close my podcast with one of those stories. You know I love these stories. Time to get scared, people. Here it comes. Whooping cough. That's right. Whooping cough reaches an epidemic level in California. They're urging the pregnant women to get vaccinated. They want the infants vaccinated. There's been 3,458 cases of whooping cough. Damn it. Whatever the hell it is, there's over 3,000 cases of it, which is, of course, less than the 9,000 cases in 2010, but it's an epidemic. And how does something become an epidemic? Well, a disease is considered an epidemic if it exceeds anticipated levels. So if you anticipated 2 cases and you got 3, it's a damn epidemic. So I'm going to close with the whooping cough epidemic, which of course, followed the great scares. You remember them all. We had mad cow and we had tomatoes were deadly for a while and the killer bees. And well, you better watch out for the whooping cough. If someone next to you coughs, you shoot them. Just don't shoot them at a school unless like it doesn't have to do with school, because then it's not a school shooting. It's a whooping cough shooting that just happened to take place at a school, which is okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to apologize to the fans in Kansas City due to a mix-up, the club owner screwing up. I'm not going to be there this week. However, I will be in Tampa next week at Side Splitters, and 4th of July weekend, I will be at Flappers in Burbank. I absolutely love you guys for listening. This is Alonzo signing off, thanking you for paying attention.